And I should remind you, the BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Losers of 11 of 12. It's gotten ugly. Nobody would run from that. But BT, much like I was practical and logical about the Yankees, I'm in that same spot with the Mets for a different extent. Nobody's talking World Series right now. Worry about that if and when both teams get to the postseason. Mm-hmm. I still believe that the Mets have the pieces in place to, first of all, they're in the playoffs. Like, if this is rock bottom, they're still a playoff team right now. And I'm still not giving up hope on the division. Going into Milwaukee, a buzzsaw, you kind of expected, you were hoping to get one, and they should have had at least one. They didn't. I think the Mets get right starting tonight. The stretch of the schedule, the next 12 days, a lot of Braves. Nationals in there. Mariners are good, but still, they're going to be able to beat the Mariners at least two out of three. Yeah. I think the season starts to turn for the better again. In a year that's been a roller coaster ride for the Mets, I do think they get it turned around. You're starting tonight.
They better. You know, I said before that I made a statement yesterday pertaining to both the Yankees and the Mets. And then in the start of the show, I isolated it just to the Yankees. If you guys missed anything, free Odyssey app. I said, and I believe this, that the Yankees and now I'll throw the Mets in there are both bad at more things than they're good at. And I ran through the Yankee checklist. And I feel the same way about the Mets. Right now, the starting pitching's not good. Too many spots in the bullpen. Not that it can't change, but you can't trust right now. I don't love the lineup. The defense was spotty, certainly in Milwaukee. Base running's okay. And the manager, I like Mendy, but he's, you know, we still need to see where he is. I still think there's more X's in the column of the Mets than good.
And what's your
than
issue? Checks, what's I should your say. Issue with Mendy? I saw well, a little yeah. something yesterday.
I don't know if I have an issue. Yeah. I mean, Mendy, how about a little more material? It's the same thing every game. Now we're good. I know he's frustrated. I like Mendoza. Although I think he made some massive mistakes. I mean, could you pinch run for Marte the other night when he gets thrown out at the plate? Why are you not pinch running for Marte?
Well, the problem is Luis Angel Acuña. I've been on this from the beginning. The Acuña's not on the roster. They're deciding.
What about Taylor?
Yeah, is he that much faster than Marte?
Marte was out by an inch. He would have beat it.
My point is, if they had Acuña on the roster instead of Beatty, who's been useless. Now I know why Beatty's there. They're valuing. I asked Mendoza this when we had him on. Hey, at what point are you guys going to value defense versus the offense? Meaning specifically Acuña. I'm not even talking about the pinch running abilities.
Yeah,
but yeah, if he were on the bases there, he would have scored that run. But they've just been getting beat in brutal ways, dude. Blowing a 5-0 lead, getting thrown out at home, like one thing after another. Now. There is now if they don't get a turnaround against Atlanta, forget it. I mean, Atlanta stinks. Forget about what the Braves were and their history with the Mets. The Braves stink. They are as dead a team could be. So the Mets better really finish them off. And I'm not talking about two out of three. I'm talking about sweep the Atlanta Braves here. Get back on track. Let's not forget the Mets won 7 in a row a couple weeks ago.
No, I get it. The other thing too with the this is debatable because it's a lot of pitches. I would have come out and had Diaz try to get 6 outs the other day.
Yeah.
Hadn't pitched since
Monday.
But Helsley,
I mean, come on. Helsley's supposed to be one of your guys.
I understand that, but it didn't work. But again,
problem
I'm not
is there's, going no, nuts. There's no margin for error here.
Well, that's part of the problem here.
Well, understood, but that's not on Helsley or Diaz or even Mendy.
Who's it on? It's going to be on somebody.
It's on the players. Manaea's got to be better. Lindor's been a zero.
Lindor's been awful.
Yeah, Nimmo looks like he's a minor leaguer. I mean, Alonso's regressed to. Again, I'm not trying to pick on Pete because he's still better than most. And same thing with Soto. Like, they have not been their apex, but Alonso's hitting now, what, 264? He was hitting 290.
Before I was hitting 330. We knew that wasn't, you know. But we're saying, hey, maybe this is the year he gets back to that 270 threshold like he was the first couple years.
And by the way, you take the 260. I'm just saying, like,
The
Mets from April and May, which, by the way, count. Like, the last I checked, it seems around here, whether it pertains to the Mets and Yankees, everybody's valuing from June 13th to August, what is today, the 12th, the 11th, whatever it is.
12th.
From June 13th to August 12th, for some reason that matters more than April or beginning of March June 13th.
Yeah.
It's
1-1-1 over 1-162. I get that, but dude, we do this in every sport. I mean, think about, if you really think about the essence of sports radio, it's really built more on conflict than positivity.
Yes.
Just wax, what an amazing performance. Oh, my God, they were so good. No.
Nothing there, right?
Yeah, there's no juice. You get on, you let it rip, and, sometimes you miss the mark, but most of the times, because we know our fan base and these teams, we are on the mark. So I think the reason why maybe there's more emphasis on the bad than the totality of the season is because that's just how we're wired. We do it with the Jets. We do it with football. With the Yankees and football. We do whatever. Knicks, Rangers.
Understood, but there is a difference between, like, if you want to hold Lindor, Nimmo, Manaea, those guys accountable right now, no issues with that. big picture, like, the feeling has always been, oh, God, here they go. They're blowing the division. Like, think about where the Mets, forget the Yankees for a second, where the Mets have been as a franchise. I'm old enough to remember that the Mets had John Mayberry Jr. and Eric Campbell in their lineup at one point. Guys who shouldn't be in the major leagues. And that's just two of many, many, many examples of recent years. I'm not going back to the 70s or 60s. I'm talking about recent years. Even in the year they went to the World Series in 2015, these guys were in their lineup at one point. I remember the bad years. It was bad for the Mets when they were 7, 8, under 500, 10 under, missing the playoffs. Right now, they've lost 11 of 12. They still have a playoff spot. That's, like, for the Mets, unheard of.
Understood. But now, listen, I think you got to elevate the floor here.
Yeah, understood.
That's part of the conversation. So, yeah, you're right. In the grand scheme here, Mets are still a playoff team. They very well might wind up. Listen, I don't think they're going to win the division, but I do think the Mets probably are a playoff team, like the Yankees probably, although both teams going nowhere when it's all said and done, in my opinion. But it's I want to make something clear. Anything that I think about these Mets, and I'm not saying you're doing this. I don't think you are. But I would be like this way from a Jet perspective. Like, there's a sensitivity to same old Jets, same old Mets. Like, there's a force field that goes up like, no, we're not the same old Mets. I agree. You guys aren't the same old Mets. So anything that what I see now is not, oh, up 7 with 17 right to go, implosion, collapse. Forget about that. I never lean on that nonsense anyway. I look at what the Mets are really good at and what the Mets are a little shaky at. And right now, to me, they're much more shaky at things than they're good at. And I don't know if that's going to change enough to change how I feel.
Fair enough. But what I would say is I think, and this is not me trying to be positive all of a sudden, I'm trying to be realistic based off of the way the landscape of the sport has changed. Literally a year ago, both you and I and many other people had the Mets left for dead and buried after the first five games, after May. This team is awful. Lindor is washed up. Like, think of the things that we were saying with legit reason.
Let's not bring all those things back up to the table, please.
Well, I'm just saying, you weren't alone. Maybe
well,
Lindor
with the switch hitter I was. Give it up.
But we all thought they can't pitch. They're going to, and they go out there and still end up in the National League Championship Series. Now, that should not be the norm because they shouldn't have to struggle the way that they did for 2 months, then just barely make the postseason and go on a run. But they were not the only team to do that. The Diamondbacks the year before got into the World
83
Series.
83 wins, too. 83
the Phillies
84.
The year before. Like, yeah. And let's not forget,
I get it.
Philadelphia thinks, and this is why I like being in this spot for a change, Philadelphia and all their fans right now, they think the division is in fact
who cares
over.
What those dopes think?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you could easily, just like if the Mets were up by 5.5 games right now, we'd be feeling like it's over. And how many times has it not been where the Mets have gotten burned? Right now, on August 11th or 12th, 12th, August 12th, the Phillies feel like they're in control. The problem is the season doesn't end on August 12th. Also, not to mention that the Phillies did win the division last year, right? And how'd they get sent home? I forget. Remind me. Oh, yeah, the Mets beat them in four measly games in the postseason. I'm not saying that it would happen again. And obviously, the Phillies are very good. The way the sport is, as long as you have the potential, which both the Mets and Yankees do to certain extents, and as long as you get in the postseason, which we expect, at least to a certain extent, the Mets and Yankees are both in right now. Even as bad as it is, they're both in. Then I think anything is possible.
It is. Anything is possible. But don't you think that whether it was the Phillies a year ago winning the division but then getting knocked out by the Mets, or, you know, other teams that we perceive to be maybe slightly better than the Mets this year, or the Yankees, like, to me, of those teams, how many teams can't get a starting pitcher past the fifth inning?
Yeah, well, I mean,
like, there's just certain inherent issues right now, which is why now I tweeted, and I meant this because I like the arms that Cashman brought in, and I love what Stearns did at the deadline. Like, my exact tweet was, Cashman crushed it.
Right.
Bednar, I love the arm. I was happy, and I had very complimentary things to say about Stearns. However, that doesn't mean that Stearns did not miss the mark without getting a starting pitcher. And at this point, that seems to be, it's shaping up to be an egregious miss. That Montas is cooked. You got to get him out of here.
Yeah, well,
he stinks.
And I think that they will. And I have reasons to be hopeful. Now, I don't know if they're going to do this. I would bring up all three of the young guys, Sproat, McLean, and Jonah Tonga.
I heard just you
promoted
say
to AAA.
They're just AAA.
Because everybody's thinking, like, okay.
But what role do you give them? Starters?
Well, here's why. Go ahead. Because everybody's saying, well, Montas can't pitch. We all know that. And the initial thought was, okay, let's say McLean, who I guess is going to be the closest to being ready now. And he takes Montas' spot in the rotation. Great. But what if he's only a five-inning pitcher? Does that solve their issues? No. So if you bring up all three of those guys, now, I don't know what they're going to be at the big league level. Nobody does. And I'm not saying you're going to do all three right now, but at some point soon, they're going to need one now to replace Montas' spot. Some point soon, if you have those weapons from the minor leagues to bring up, it's worth a chance to have them piggyback, let's say, Senga, Holmes, Manaea, all three guys who, do you have any confidence that even if they're good, they're going to go more than five innings?
No, we're talking about the young kids. No.
No, no, I'm talking about...
Oh, Manaea. I think that was a bit of an outlier. Yeah,
but he hasn't been able to get through five innings plus...
Peterson's the one guy who's giving
correct.
You depth. That's
so,
it.
So outside of Peterson, you can't survive if Montas, useless.
No.
And then the other three, that's what I'm talking about, where Holmes is at best a five-inning solid pitcher.
And it might get worse because the innings threshold's getting worse.
Senga, five-inning solid
he's
pitcher,
been
you hope. And then Manaea, same thing. He's just clearly not the same. So why not have those three young kids come up and be piggybacks to those three in the rotation, as opposed to saying Sproat's got to start, McLean's got to start, Tong's got to start. Have them come in and be two or three innings behind each one of these guys.
Interesting.
Lengthening it out, getting it to your weapons in the bullpen now, whether it be Rogers, Helsley, or Diaz.
So basically what you're saying, and it's interesting, like, hey, if you're gonna pitch half the game, what's it matter if you pitch the back half or the front half? Pretty much, right? Okay, I get
just
that.
More, I trust those three arms more than I would Montas, Stanek, throwing another. You know, I'm good with Soto, Raley, Helsley, Rogers, Diaz. That's a
you should be good.
Solid
yeah,
five
I
right
think
there.
Those are pretty good arms in the past. I do.
Anybody else in a bullpen can be replaced.
Yeah, Rogers can pitch every day.
That's what I'm saying. He's been a machine. So, but it's a one inning thing.
No, I get it.
So do the math. If you got Clay Holmes, pitches great.
Four innings.
Yeah. Okay. Four or five innings. You're gonna need even if he goes five. You need four guys out of the bullpen to be perfect. If you have, let's say, Tong or McLean, and they can give you two or three solid innings, you shorten everything up.
My only concern, and I've said this in the past because these names have come up, maybe not all three of them, but we certainly thought at some point the Mets would dip into and bring them one of these, the system, and bring them one of these young arms here. I'm not a big proponent of for a young kid. I don't mean a veteran.
Yeah.
Taking a young kid and the first look in the bigs is a deviation from his routine.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I get it. Well, they
you
have to figure that out. And they would know better. That's why I'm just saying it's a thought behind it. All right. Now, the last reason to be positive here. I don't know if you saw this. We have a message. There was a tweet that was sent out this morning. He's been silent, but we have a message from the King. The Mets have lost 11 of 12. The division is slowly slipping away. They are now six games back behind the red-hot Phillies, and things are looking bleak. Steve Cohen tweeted this morning, "We haven't been playing well, but I still believe in this team. I will be at Citi Field the next three games, rooting the Mets on. LGM." The King has spoken. He is letting you know. And I believe in Steve. He's letting you know. That to me is a little, hey, I know it's been bad.
What did you think?
I believe.
He's been on vacation for two months with the tweets.
I believe. And ... They better get it fixed. Yeah. He didn't say that, but you know that he's thinking that.
Yeah, no, listen, it's funny. It's good to hear from him. I like when he does that.
Yeah.
I like when he connects with the fans. And he is a fan. He just has that $15 billion next to him. They're probably more at this point. All right, so... You know, I mean, here's what I take away from it.
Yeah.
There's one letter missing that tells me that he's not incredibly confident. It seems a little benign. Yeah. You know, I know Pete likes to drop the F there, the LGM. Now, I don't know. You guys, maybe Hoff, you know, the Rico with Ev, you. I mean, does he generally get separation from the LF? GM?
I think it's an LGM thing.
You sure about this?
No,
he never got wrapped up in the F?
Hav, you could check back maybe the King's tweets there and see.
There haven't been many, so it shouldn't take too long. It's been a couple of months.
I will say this. So when I was out there saying hello to Mendy a couple Sundays ago, had a run-in.
Oh, how's he doing?
With some royalty.
Does he know us? Must hate us. Must hate me.
He knows at least the King Cohen thing. I will say that.
That's good. Good.
Remember, too, I have the advantage being at SNY, so I'm sure he watches that. And it was, you know, just what a fun, quick conversation. But I did say to him right in front of Mendy, I go, you did your job. Now he's got to do his.
You're such a troublemaker, man. Why would you do that,
but
dude, in front of the owner?
It's conversation. It's real conversation.
Oh, man.
I told him it's mostly LGM. Hoff is confirming from King Cohen.
All right, thank you,
Hoff. I told the guy, the King's in the clubhouse. He did what he could do. None more he could do. Now it's on. Come on, Mendy. Let's go. Get these guys going.
So you're with me on Mendy. Eh? We kind of get to the same spot. Here we go. We just get their different routes.
Well, I do think that the pressure or the onus is on. And by the way, that is a big part here where you look at the Yankees and Mets struggling with the pressure of New York right now. Clearly, the guys are pressing. They're just not having fun, specifically when it comes to the Mets. They look beaten. They don't look like they're having fun any way, shape, or form. That could turn quickly. I still believe in the ability.
I agree.
But they got to get back to having fun. But you don't think that they're feeling the pressure? Absolutely.
They should be.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more thing for you here. One, two, three, four. Okay, so I gave you the six components. You know, I ran down starting pitching, bullpen. I need this from you right now, because this is kind of a little bit of a state of the Mets thing here. Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in or you missed it, free Odyssey app, what Sal's saying is, I find it interesting that he says this with the Braves coming in, that the season's about to turn around, and that now you're not looking for just two, you're looking for the broom. We're feeling pretty bold today, Sal. So I need a definitive number, 1 through 10, 10 being the most confident, 1 being almost none, on the six different components of the Mets. 1 through 10, your belief in starting pitching the rest of the way. Be honest, buddy.
7.
Strikes me as a little high.
Now, I'm factoring in they're going to call up at least one of the young guys, and Montas is out. And I trust the other four to at least
just
be
just because
solid.
They're not Montas?
Well,
basically, right?
Well, I mean, I still think Senga. Now, you're higher on Senga than I am. You know,
yeah, but even
Senga.
My confidence is taken out. He
should be better than what he is right now. Is he going to be what he was in the beginning of the year? No, I think he'll be okay. My biggest issue is not, I think they'll be serviceable 4 to 5 inning starters. Senga, Holmes, Manaea, whatever.
Peterson.
Yeah, definitely Peterson. I have the most confidence in him, and then one of the other young guys.
Okay, so that gets us to the bullpen. Scale of 1 to 10. You ripped down some of the names before, many of which are pretty good. Scale of 1 to 10 confidence
in
the pen.
9.5. Like, extremely
9.5?
Oh, dude, yes. Extremely confident.
9.5.
I mean, I'm not going 10, but yes.
You got Roscoe and McDowell down there a little bit?
Helsley, Diaz, Rogers.
All right,
really?
I got you.
So
I know,
like,
it's pretty good. It's
and
pretty
if
good.
You compare it to everybody else, that's to me that I have the most confidence in with the Mets.
Okay, lineup. And you can interpret that however you want. You know, 1 through 9.
This is where I would probably go less. I'll go on the high end here, 6.
Fair.
That's the high end. Now, if you're going individuals, still ultimate confidence in Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have confidence that Lindor is going to get a turnaround. Unfortunately, Lindor's
not finishing the next 2 months this way. There's no way he's finishing the season this way. I don't believe it.
He's just a streaky player.
Well, this is more than streaky.
Understood,
this is becoming a horrendous season.
But even look at his numbers. This year he started out well.
I know.
And now has faltered.
Yep.
But I believe that there's going to be an uptick at some point. So I believe in Lindor, Soto, Alonso to a certain extent. Nimmo, I probably have a 2 confidence. Like, I'm done with Nimmo. Months ago I said I would trade
Nimmo. We're kind of sharing the same thing with him. All right, defense, 1 through 10.
Probably 5.
Listen, you know, the Mauricio play at third base the other day. Remember the play?
He's the guy I trust at third.
I know. That was a tough play, but that was a play that jumped out to me here. Lindor's been very sloppy at shortstop. Did you see the play? I forget who was on first base for the Brewers. It was like a 3-hopper to left field in front of Nimmo, and the runner went first to third?
Yeah.
From on a ground ball to left field?
Yeah, come on, it can't
happen.
You
don't see that. He's got a noodle.
Don't trust Nimmo. Center field serviceable.
Yeah, Mullins is fine.
Soto's fine.
He's
but
fine out there for
plus.
Now.
Alonso's not a great defensive first baseman, despite what some want to tell you.
Like,
he's okay.
He's fine.
He can't throw. Yep. He's just not great there. And if Lindor's not a plus part of the equation, which he's not this year, you've got problems.
So what number did you give? I'm sorry.
5.
Okay, 5. So,
and that's probably, like, that's being
okay. So
generous.
Let me just make sure I have this right. Starting pitching, 1 through 10, Sal gives him a 7.
Yep.
Bullpen, 1 through 10, 9.5.
Yep.
Most confidence by far. Lineup, 1 through 10, 6.
Yep.
Defense, 1 through 10, 5.
Right.
Base running.
I think they're good on the base pass.
Yeah, I mean,
7.
I was saying this when you were off. Like, the Yankees' base running gaps have been atrocious. I'm not saying that the Mets have, you know, 9 brilliant base runners, but it's not egregiously bad.
You
7.
Could probably put 8. They've been good in that they don't do it often, but they are
when they run, they're selective.
Yeah, very efficient.
Well, Soto's got 20. You know, I'm with you on that.
You know why I demerit a little bit? Mm. Did we talk about this when Lindor got the base hit down the line against Cleveland?
We didn't
talk
about
this. Third?
No, we did not.
I would have been aggressive in that spot. Okay. Many disagreed. I would put the pressure on the... Dude, you know what? Putting the pressure on the team there. Ball's in the right field corner.
Make a throw.
Cleveland's
got
to make a perfect throw to save the game from being over.
Uh-huh.
Mets took him off the rope saying that, hey, you know what? We got a lot. We'll play it conservative. So I want a little more aggression from both the Mets and the Yankees.
I think the Yankees third base coach is too aggressive. Yeah. He's a clown show sometimes.
I'd rather see them, not just the third base coach, although in that spot, yes, when specifically you know what I'm talking standing about. With
that
a hard
play,
hitter.
Yeah. All right, last one here. And this is going to be a tough one for you. It's tough because there's the least amount of data. The manager, scale of 1 to 10.
I'm confident in him.
I know you're confident, but 1 to 10.
8, okay. Maybe 9. Like okay. Just without going over the top. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's the issue. Now, he's got to figure this out. Hey, put it this way. We could sit here and you could say, well, the Mets aren't that good or the Yankees aren't that good. I could say, well, I still believe in the Mets and Yankees. Bottom line is this. We're going to find out in September and potentially October. Then from there, if they don't get the job, like if the Mets don't make the playoffs, then I think you need significant changes where I've been saying change the core for a while, and I still believe in that. Anything but Soto, as far as I'm concerned, can go. The problem is you're...
Lindor, too?
If you find a taker, I'm tired of the inconsistencies. And he's only going to get worse as he gets older as far as the defense goes. Now, he's not going anywhere, so it doesn't even mean anything if I say that.
I'm just curious if, like, for you to say that's interesting.
If they miss the playoffs, I would be looking at it if I'm Stern saying... I'm keeping Soto. I'm going to bring up some of the young guys. Everybody else here can go.
And Mendy 100% safe if they don't make the playoffs?
No, if it's your team. I think he's safe now, but I think then if he can't figure out how to maximize what is one of the most talented teams in Mets history, then yeah, you better believe. And he knows it. You better believe he's going to be under the gun. That's one thing I like about Mendy. He said flat out, hey, I know it. If we struggle, I get it. I get the buzz why I love him.